All right. Good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, isn't it?
Amen.
Amen. All right, now, you're going to have to say amen to me. I know Brother Donnie wants you to say amen to him if he's here. So if I say anything right, then say amen. All right? Amen. Smile a while and give your face a lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. I hope that somebody else here that you don't want to shake hands with. So if that's not the truth, or if it is the truth, whichever, I want you to turn around and shake hands when it comes to the time. Mm-hmm. And that little chorus, okay? Smile a while and give your face a lift. Lift your hands to the one who loves you best. Turn and shake your neighbor's hand and give the world a smile. Amen. Now you can sit down anytime you feel like it. And I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. Now, this thing. Is it on?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it on?
It's on.
All right. I love to see smiles in the house of God, because we're here to worship Him in spirit and in truth. If you're not here for any other reason, then you need to get up right now and leave. Please don't do it. Amen. All right, now I'll get this thing right in a minute. No. Huh?
Try the other one, not the
player. Other one.
Yeah,
is it all right? I'll try not to get in front of these much. I'll have to stand over this way probably, but that's all right. Does it sound all right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. My wife and I were going to sing a song today, so I'll just sing it by myself. That be all right with y'all? This is part of my testimony, okay? I may give you a little bit more after a while, but I was not... always a bad boy. When I was growing up, I tried to do what was right. Even when I got grown in my thoughts and in my mind, maybe I wasn't as much as I thought I was. But anyway, when I got to that time, then I still tried to do what I thought was right. I got saved when I was 17 years old, and I praise the Lord for that. If it hadn't been for me being saved at 17, even though I was a good boy, from what Mama told me anyway, she said, a good boy. And even if I wasn't a good boy, something might have happened that I would have done something that I shouldn't have done. I've seen a lot of people that have gone to prison for things that maybe if they'd have gotten saved earlier, then it may well have happened. And I don't believe it would if they live for the Lord like they're supposed to. But this song, you know, I don't know if I sang it right or not, but I'm going to sing it. I'm going to try to. And if I get it started off right. Shackled by a heavy burden, neath the load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he came and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. All right. Again, I say to you, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. And when I find my scripture and everything, then we'll get to going. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to 2 Timothy, if you will. And I know that this is probably a very familiar passage of scripture to all of you. And I hope it is. If it isn't, I hope that you are a person that loves the Word of God and you study the Word of God, because in the same scripture that I'm right down behind what I'm going to read, it tells us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're supposed to study the Word of God. We ought to love to study the Word of God. In fact, the Bible tells us here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, we were talking just a few minutes ago before service started, and we were talking about things were getting worse, and it is. Things of this world is something that we could talk about probably all the morning. Probably let you out at 1 o'clock, probably. But I'm not going to do that, the Lord willing. But if he wants me to, it'll be for you and for me also. But anyway, in these scriptures, it tells us that we're living in the last days. And even if we didn't read that, and even if we would just think about it, we'd know what God says in the Word, that we know when the last days are. Not when Jesus is coming, because nobody knows that. Nobody. Not even the angels in heaven. But my friend, we're here today to let you know, if you don't already know, Jesus Christ could step out on the clouds any day and call us home. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to get out of this old world? If you can't say amen to that, then something wrong somewhere. But the Bible says here, and I'm going to go ahead and read it now, just know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I could stop there probably and preach 15 or 20 minutes on that. Surely, we're living in perilous times. If you just look around, you can see that the world is turned upside down. Don't know which way it's going. And you know, people today, they really don't know, a lot of them don't know which way they're going. I'm here to tell you that if you're not going the right way, you're going the wrong way. It's as simple as that. And you have to determine within your own mind, and on your own, in your own heart, whether you're going the right way or the wrong way. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, He'll save you. The Bible tells us that. It tells in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, if you've been saved, you know that you're going the right way. There is no doubt about it. No doubt whatsoever. Jesus Christ says that you may know that you have passed from death unto life. Did He not say that? Sure He did. Now, but one thing about it, that the church, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about the pews, the woodwork, and all of that, how pretty it is. It is beautiful, I think. And I've seen some beautiful churches. In fact, most churches are beautiful to me. But I'm talking about the born-again believers in Jesus Christ. We are the church, are we not? We're the saints of God. But the Bible tells us that the church is conforming to the world instead of the world conforming to the church. And that's the reason you don't see many people here today. And I'm not throwing off, but praise the Lord. I appreciate you being here. And I wish there's some more here, but it's not, so I'm not going to worry about it. Praise the Lord, you're here today, and I believe that these scriptures would be for you also. Now, this world is a pleasure-loving world, is it not? It loves pleasure, not of the Lord's word, but it loves the pleasure of the world. People like to get out and get the boat out on Sunday morning and carry the family down to the lake, and they say they're having a good time. But I'm here to tell you, them and you also, that they're not having the good time that I'm having. It's a pleasure to serve the Lord. And that is my pleasure, me serving the Lord. So you see, the world is turned upside down, but here I am standing straight. Amen. And you are too, I hope. Then go in verse 2. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, proud, boasters, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy." Let's stop right there for a minute. I could just say something about every one of those phrases where I got a comma behind. Every word. Men should be lovers of their own selves. And they are. They're going to do everything they can for themselves. Most people today are selfish people. Are they not? I'll tell you, God teaches us that we're not to be selfish. But He goes on to say that not only are they covetous and boasters, look here what I done. You can't do anything without God. Well, I can't even walk without Him holding my hand. And sometimes while He's holding my hand, I stumble. I might be walking along sometimes and I find myself over there or over there. I was telling young ladies a while ago that, and we were talking about falling around, and I was telling them that it ain't been too awful long ago that I got up out of my seat and I wound up in the floor about 2 foot from where my seat was. I don't know how I got there, but I knocked a stature over that my wife has. She's got a statue of a little boy and a little girl. And I knocked a statue over the little boy. And his head rolled over and hit the wall and knocked a hole in the wall. I don't know how I done it. But I'm here to tell you, God helped me in that. in other words. I didn't hurt myself. So I praise the Lord for that. He helped me. He was there with me. And even though I'd done that, amen. You see, we're proud and boasters. We're blasphemers. We're disobedient to parents. We're not. But you see, the kids, and maybe you were when you were a kid, but you see a lot of kids today, they don't obey their parents. They tell them to do something. What do? Go right opposite, don't they? And if they do it and get in trouble, well, you know what happens? The parents sometimes say, well, that's all right, honey. You didn't mean to do it. My Bible tells me if you spoil a child, you'll do it by sparing the rod. And I know, today you can't even touch your child, hardly. The governmental process will come out and they'll get you for it. Might even put you in jail if you don't watch out. If you don't have a good lawyer or something. But all of this is happening today. And I know you know this. Traitor, heated, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. That's what I was talking about a while ago. Hamming the home of godliness, but denying the power thereof. But it doesn't stop there, though, does it? It says, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, never learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let me skip verse 2. Verse 9, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, and the patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came into me at Antioch. This is Apostle Paul talking here now. He says, at Iconium and Lystra, what persecution I endured. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceiving. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing, of whom thou hast learned them, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. That right there is preaching on its own self, is it not? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Now turn with me to Hebrews, if you will, chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read a few verses here, if you will. And all of this, you can see that we're living in the last days. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. What did he promise us? He promised us he'd never leave us nor forsake us. He'd go with us even unto the end of the way. Did he not promise us that? All right, here it is. It says, let us hold fast the profession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Who promised us? Jesus Christ, our Lord. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. What day is it talking about? The coming of the Lord. We're living in the last days. The Bible showed us that in 2 Timothy. It showed us what's happening. And I could go on with that for a long time. I'll tell you, it just breaks my heart to see how people are living this day and time. And they don't seem to care. That's what hurts. For if we sin willfully, that we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sins. That's a tough statement, ain't it? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy unto two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment suppose you that ye should be through worthy? Suppose you shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under the foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. How we're saved? For by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. The Spirit of grace. For we knoweth him that hath said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. Now listen to this verse, right, the next verse. It is fearful, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Let me say that again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Isn't Christ Jesus alive? He's alive forevermore, is he not? He's a living God. All these other people, Muhammad, he's dead. Some of these others that claim to be so big, they're dead. But praise God, my Savior's alive, and he's alive forevermore. He was buried, but he rose the third day. He's alive evermore. Now, I think people today are flirting with the undertaker. What about you? Don't you think today that people are flirting with the undertaker? Or even the upper taker? Which one do you see? You see, our text, which is in Hebrews chapter 10, and I just used 2 Timothy also, our text was directed primarily to the Hebrew Christians. But I think it would help us today too. Now, in regard of the wrath of God falling upon disobedience, and the Word of God teaches us that under grace there is no difference between the Jew and the Gentile. No difference. This may as well be heeded by every believer, whether it's in the church or not. How do the saved flirt with the undertaker? Brother Bill, I'm not going to get you in trouble, I hope. But and her either one. But did she flirt with you before they got married? Or y'all got married?
Did she flirt with
her? Or did you flirt with her? Whichever. It was a little bit of flirting going on that day, wasn't it? Sure it was. I'm saying that to say this. Flirting, what is it? It's trying to make one person like the other one or love the other one, whichever. So they do a few little things. You know, I ain't going to say that she did what I thought she might have done, but I think I will anyway. She probably just blinked in my eyes and Brother Bill just fell for it. Amen. I'm just picking on them too, and I believe they're pickable, don't you? I believe they are. But we flirt with the undertaker by this. Unconfessed sin, first of all. There's a lot of people today that claim to be saved are going around with unconfessed sin in their life. But God's not satisfied with that, is he? You see, Proverbs 28:13, he says, he that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. God's mercy. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So forgiving then demands confession, does it not? But we must ask God to forgive us of our unconfessed sin. And I believe he'll do it. After all, I've always said that if we confess our sins and he forgives us, what's the use of us going around worrying about them? But sometimes people walk around with unconfessed sin. They won't confess it. That's sad, isn't it? Sad, sad, sad. Then not only can unconfessed sin, but unforgiving spirit. Have you ever known anybody with unforgiving spirit? I don't believe there's anybody in here, but there's a lot of people that I know that have unforgiving spirit. It would just tear me off to pieces if I had to walk around with an unforgiving spirit. I even forgive them if they don't ask me to. I don't want nobody to not like me. But if I'm doing something for the Lord and if I know I'm right, then if they don't like me, that's their problem. Because I'm doing what I can for the glory of God. I may not bring it out. I might not do it like somebody else does it, but I get it done. Unconfessed sin. All right? Unforgiving spirit. A lot of people harbor unforgiveness, hate, jealousy, and resentment. Look at the world today. How they protesting about this and that and the other. Isn't it a hate crime? To me it is. They hate everything to Brother Trump. I started to say Brother Trump. I don't know if he's my brother or not. But they hate everything that President Trump does. I don't say he does everything right. I know he don't. And I don't do everything right. I'm saved. But I'm just a saved, born-again person of God. Can't do everything right in this flesh. But if I don't have a Holy Spirit living within that convicts me of it. So you see, you have to confess it. And when you stand praying, if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. And third thing is this, when you're flirting with the undertaker, you have an unclean life. The Christian is called of God, is he not? To live clean, spiritually, and physically. But there are so many people today that call themselves Christians, walking around, acting like the world, talking like the world. Even smelling like the world sometimes. I don't want to be around it myself, do you? And the only way I know is to stay at home sometimes. And then just go to church when I can worship him. But there is people walking around with that unclean light that say, well, I'm saved. I got saved so-and-so time. Well, praise be the Lord if you are. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And I know I'm not giving you time to look at those scriptures, but if you want to write them down, that's fine. That was in Isaiah. No, it wasn't either. It was not. I'll find it in a minute. 2 Corinthians 7, chapter 7, verse 1. All right, now, the fourth thing is this, an untold testimony. How many of you got saved and go out and don't tell nobody that you got saved? When I got saved, I want to tell everybody. I still want to tell a whole lot of them. But you see, when I got saved, I got two births. I've had two births. The first one, I don't remember. The second one, I can't forget. Think about that. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say? You've been saved twice. I mean, one time. Oh, one birth is for saving. You know, I was born into the Albert family. It was my first birth. When I was 17 years old, I was born into the family of God. It was my second birth. I've been saved 60 years. Or 2 months. I just had to get it right before I said anything. 60 years and 2 months. I haven't always been where I ought to be. I'm not perfect. Let me tell you a little secret. You're not either. But if God saved you, then one of these days you're going to be perfect. The Bible says we're going to be likened to the Son of God, did it not? Well, He's perfect. So we're going to be perfect one day. But there's an untold testimony here. Isaiah 62 verse 6 says, I have set thee watchman upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. In other words, you're to talk about Jesus. I preached at Riverview probably a month or two ago. When I got up there, I says, let's talk about Jesus. And I preached on let's talk about Jesus. I think you've heard me probably some of it. Let's talk about Jesus. Had a lady to come up to me after service, and she said, you know what? You blessed my heart when you said, let's talk about Jesus. And you had a wonderful message. Well, I preached again last Sunday night, almost a week ago. Well, it was a week ago. I preached again there. And I preached, I thought as hard as I could. I know I messed up on some things, and not no doctrinal things, but I mean, I just messed up a few things. And after service, this lady come up to me, and first of all, I want to ask you, how many of you ever knew Brother Geddes Brown? Has any of you ever heard of him? He's gone on to be with the Lord now. But she says, you got a little bit of Geddes Brown in you, haven't you? I said, well, praise the Lord. I hope I have. Amen. If you knew him, you know what I was talking about. Wouldn't you, Sister Nancy? You said, you know him. Brother Ben Poovey would be the same way. I loved Brother Ben Poovey. Even though I didn't get to come down here much, I'd see him every once in a while. And I've heard him preach many times. He's going to be with glory, to be with the Lord. And no doubt he's shouting up there. I don't know what else goes on up there, but I believe the Bible says they'd be shouting on the hills of glory, and I want to be in on that. So if they shouting now, I hope they're still shouting when I get there. And I believe they will. Amen. Things like that, if you get a little bit discouraged because you think you didn't do good preaching the gospel, you ever feel like that Brother Bill teaching Sunday school? You feel like it's just a flop. I know, we're fleshly, all of us. But when I get like that, it just feels like I just quit preaching. And then somebody comes along, gives you a little boost. God has somebody for you that will help you. Now, undependable, unfaithful service, all of these, if you're doing that, you're flirting with the undertaker. And let's go with this. Unconcern of us spreading the gospel. Those who hindered the carrying out of the command of Christ began their poison operation at the local church. Oftentimes to cause home base to be non-progressive. Sincerely and seriously affects other fronts. Mark 16, verse 15 said, "And he said unto them, Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." He gives us command to do all of this. We're to confess our sin. We're to have a forgiving spirit. We're to have a clean life. Because the Bible says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." We should have a told testimony. I want people to know, not that I want to be bragged on myself. I want them to brag on Jesus. But I want to have a testimony, and I want to have a clean light that when somebody sees me out on the street or in a grocery store or somewhere like that, I want them to know that I'm a Christian, most of all, by just looking at me. And then I want them to know that I'm a preacher. The highest calling that anybody could have. And I praise the Lord that He called me to preach. I'd rather be an old-time Holy Ghost preacher than anything I know. And I know in my older years, I've slowed down a whole lot. And my mind ain't like it used to be, and I have to have notes when I didn't used to have them. But I don't see nothing wrong with notes. I'd rather have a note and say something right and keep on a straight line than to not have notes and chase rabbits. I chase rabbits enough as it is. But praise the Lord for what He's given me. I say sometimes to my wife, "I'm not much of a preacher." She said, "Quit letting yourself down. You are." I've heard you a few times. She ain't heard me much, though. Anyway, I get discouraged sometimes, and I say, "Well, you know, I just think I'll turn in my ordination papers." But you know what? I can't do it. God won't let me, and even if He would, I don't have anybody to turn them into, because the ones that ordained me is all gone on to be with the Lord. So I had to depend on Jesus, don't I? But everybody gets discouraged. If you keep your eyes on what's happening in this day and time, you'll probably get discouraged. But you know what I do? When I see these things come to pass, the Bible says, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. And I have to keep that in my mind. I know sometimes, like I say, I get discouraged. I get disappointed. But I never gotten disappointed with the Lord. I preached at Thursday at the Preacher's Fellowship I preached. He called on me first, and he kind of surprised me because he just called on me about 2 months ago. And most of the time, you know, he calls on different ones all the time. I said most of the time. Okay. But he called on me first, and I thought, Lord, what am I going to preach? When I got up there, I felt like I made a complete flop. Some of the preachers come around and told me I did a good job and appreciated the message. I don't know. God's going to get them for that if they were wrong. Amen. But let me ask you this. And I know I'm hard on y'all this morning, but if I can get us, and I say us, to do this, everything will be all right. But let me ask you, are you guilty of these things that I've been mentioning? I'm asking myself also. When I preach to you, look there. 3 fingers coming back to me and a thumb when it's crooked. That's 4. And not one going out to you. So I get it worse than you do. But if you're doing, if you're living in things like I mentioned in your life, why don't we get right with God and just love the Lord? I mentioned what I started to say a while ago, and I slipped my mind. I mentioned that, you know, I don't know whether my wife really loves me or not. She was there. She didn't say nothing afterwards either. She probably forgot it. But anyway, then I says, I don't know if she does. But there's one thing I know. God loves me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. And that's all I know of it. That's all I need to know. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I have to depend on Him. You have to depend on Him. So let's do what's right in our Christian life. And when we get to heaven, let's have the Lord, or hope that the Lord say, enter in thy good and faithful servant into the joys of this land. Into that fig. Now, I don't know if he'll say land or to this place or what. In fact, I don't even know what he'll say at all, but I think he will for some people that live for him. And if you think spiritually, even though this mind right here, and I'm saying mind, M-I-N-E, mind, this mind, D, gets a little bit foggy. After all, there's someone in here that helps me with it. Amen. All right, let's bow our heads.